this week on You Hate to See It, we are joined by a special guest, a friend of mine and teacher of mine from college, Alex Freeman. Hello, Alex, and welcome to the show.
Yeah, welcome back, dude.
Yeah,
great to be here. My favorite part about that introduction is it sounded like Adam forgot my name. Like,
yeah,
he was about to say it. He was like, "We're joined by."
He kind of tries to go off a script he writes, but also doesn't try to read it. So
here's the real thing. All right, I guess we'll just throw out part of what I was gonna do. This episode was recorded once before. It got fucked up. We're doing it again. After the episode ended, deleted my notes. So we're just going in blind this time. So
my favorite thing is that he doesn't have notes, so now I can just lie about myself.
Yeah, I have your website pulled up, which by the copyrights
and I'm making a Wikipedia
says,
as we go. So
we'll be experts on you at the end of
by the copyright on your website. I don't think you've updated your website since 2020. So
it has been a minute.
Yeah.
My web designer has been busy.
That's what they all say.
It's my wife is my web designer.
Anyway, but last time Alex was on, Jeff wasn't here. So this is new information for Jeff. This is great. So what have you been up to since college?
I hate this, and I wasn't here first.
I also hate this. I regret everything.
Give us a Cliff Notes about you, and then we'll just talk football for an hour.
Yeah,
I'm a lifelong Detroit Lions fan, which is biography bullet point number one. I was 2 years old the last time they won a playoff game during the 2008 0-16 season. That was my freshman year of undergrad. I'm just going to give you my life in Lions bullet points.
Okay,
a lot of gaps.
And then as of this year, where, you know, as this episode drops, celebrating having won a Super Bowl.
How is it to have serotonin?
It's incredible.
Is it? Okay. I haven't known what that's like since I was like seven.
I know Detroit Lions. What if Detroit becomes a good city again? Like, it becomes booming, like Ford moves back.
Let's not be hasty with our assessment. Yeah. I will say, in defense of the city of Detroit, beautiful city, I was there this past fall for Miguel Cabrera's final two home games as a Detroit Tiger, final two games as a Detroit Tiger. And so having not been to the city of Detroit in a couple of years at that point, I will say the area around the stadium, has really like grown up. It's really nice. There's some good places to stay. There's some great places to eat. If you're looking for a fun getaway weekend in a Rust Belt, forgotten American city, I can recommend Detroit.
We have two very different viewpoints. Would you like to know the only time I've been in Detroit and in downtown Detroit?
Yes, please.
During the riots.
That is a different time to have been. Now, I will say, was there a point when we were walking around on Saturday night of that weekend where there was just a random police checkpoint with a metal detector that we had to go through? Yes. But did that make me feel safer?
Safety.
No, because they just let me walk around it. So, you know.
How is it being in an urban area that has wolves and black bears returning because of the low human population?
You know, it's just nice to see nature,
the wildlife,
reclaim the land. Interestingly, okay, so as a lifelong Detroit fan and human.
Lifelong Detroit human.
Thanks for telling us that. I almost forgot.
The history of Detroit is one that has, like, it is a city that has constantly been abandoned, including going literally all the way back to after the French founded it, so Detroit. As the English were attacking, the very first thing the French did, they were like, we're just going to go to Canada. You can have it. We're fine.
Isn't there a naval battle around Detroit during like the Revolution or the War of 1812?
The War of 1812. The only naval battles to occur in the Great Lakes.
It's probably a good thing.
I don't remember
that and the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Your two
whole song about that
most important shipwrecks and naval battle history.
Always remember,
Adam. Are we on the outline? Is this what you intended for the beginning of the episode?
The
history of Detroit and. And Jeff, you're gonna sing the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald now, right? You're gonna pull
up. I just need to find the background noise music for that.
Hold on. The background noise for that. Gordon Lightfoot's music.
I feel like the background noise
is just a ship going down.
The screams of the damned.
I was thinking background noise of what's happening in Detroit, which is just a lot of hookers getting high on cocaine.
We have a friend who lived in Detroit and like in the nice part of Detroit, and he's like, I heard gunshots every single
please define what part of Detroit that was.
He was near Canada, the part
after you crossed the border.
Windsor, Ontario was the nice part of Detroit.
He was near one of the stadiums. I can't remember.
He actually worked from home in Iowa. Real nice area.
No, I do, you know, I love Detroit. It's a city that has been in literally a state of decline since the 1950s. I've said this on, I host a Detroit Tigers podcast, which Adam will probably tell you has not dropped an episode since December. It's the off season and I'm very distracted by football right now. But I've said this on that. I think that Detroit is one of the greatest sports cities in America in terms of passion of the fan base. Yeah, well, I mean, honestly, though, like,
well, it's the only way to keep kids off the streets is to go to sports games.
Are you above or below Philly? Like, do you guys burn and flip cars, or are you like a little bit more?
No, they flip and then burn cars.
To be fair, there hasn't really been much to burn and flip cars about. If we were gonna burn and flip cars about being bad, then that would happen every single week in the NFL for the last 30 years. But. True, not usually connected to the football game, the results of the game.
It happens on like a Wednesday, you know, completely not football related.
But, you know, it's similar to like wanting to see the Baltimore Ravens do well. Like it's a city that has been beat up a lot, has had Buffalo being a very similar city as well. Although, you know, the Bills should have maybe won a Super Bowl at this point, but.
Dude, I don't even want to get.
I'm really so tired of watching the Chiefs win playoff games.
I'm so sad for Josh Allen the last like 3 years. Those games are always hard. That fucking kicker, man. Like as much as I don't want to just shit on him, like, man,
that was a bad kick. There was no win.
You're the reason Josh Allen doesn't get a Super Bowl this year.
Yeah. So Jeff and I learned something fun about the Baltimore Ravens yesterday.
Oh my God, this still pisses me off. I forgot about this.
What do you have the numbers? I don't remember the numbers.
Lord. They were eating only Uncrustables for like all of
training. Oh, yeah. Like, wild. That was wild.
A pro football player, and you come in the morning for your 2 days, and your locker is just stocked full of Uncrustables.
It was in like Slim Jims and
like beef
power bars.
I was like, they literally did not feed them an ounce of real, like, made food in the establishment. It was just, they went to a 7-Eleven across the street.
Uncrustables.
Meanwhile, like, another team's feeding them, like, fresh-flown-in New Zealand grass-fed beef or whatever.
I'm just saying, which team's in the AFC Championship game? So,
That's what I was saying.
It pisses me off.
Everyone's eating Uncrustables next season.
Yeah,
that's what makes Lamar the MVP. Everyone's eating
of all their nutrition,
Uncrustables.
Nutrition crews around the NFL, and it's just going to be whatever the assistant coaches bring in from their gas station run on the morning. I got a slice of Casey's pizza, and I found some Monster Energy drinks and this bag of sunflower seeds.
This reminds it was like
30 bags of sunflower seeds also.
Well, you know, you got to have a snack.
Wild.
Yes. Outside of your meal of 10 Uncrustables and 3 Slim Jims.
Look, I don't know about you. I could smash 10 Uncrustables for breakfast.
No, same. Like if I was in high school and my coaches were like, this is your meal plan for today, I'd be ecstatic. But as an adult, I'm like,
How many Uncrustables does it take for a 350-pound lineman to feel satisfied after an NFL practice.
It's at least 32.
When you think about that, because like the satisfied versus them hitting their calorie goal for the day, they're going to hit their calorie goal, but they're not going to be satisfied till they're at least double what their calorie intake should be, which is already for a 350-pound person who's like not moving is like over 3,200 calories. So,
do you think they only get grape, or do you think they vary like, flavors?
Yeah, they only get one kind.
Well, they have to get grape because it's purple.
I don't think I've ever had a strawberry uncrustable.
Strawberry jelly freaks me out. So.
Why?
Okay, wait, hang on. Yeah, we gotta unpack that. Yeah, we need to
go. It scares me.
All right, we have to go into that. Why?
I don't know. It scares me. I don't know why. Strawberry jelly freaks me out. Like, it's grape jelly or bust.
Think about strawberry jelly, and while you're thinking about it, what part of it is scaring you? The color red?
No, I think the flavor is too tame for me.
What does that mean?
And the mixture, like the strawberry flavor in jelly form, is not strong enough. And also, the combination of strawberries and peanut butter they creep me out. I don't know why.
Do you like jam?
Grape jam.
Not strawberry jam.
No strawberry jam. No.
No, I just expanded my horizon.
Oh, yeah, how do you feel about marmalade?
Never tried it. I did just expand my horizon. I've started having peach jelly because my mom used to live in Atlanta, and she brought back a bunch of peach wine and peach jelly and all this Atlanta crap. And so I just opened up the mason jar of peach jelly. And
for some reason Desmond Ritter was in her car.
And I just started having that with my PB&Js instead, mostly because since my wife and I are pregnant, we are trying to cut some corners in terms of shopping. And I was like, well, I got peach jelly, so I'm not going to go buy grape jelly because I can save that money right now. So
have you considered an Uncrustable where there are no corners?
I've had Uncrustables.
That was a good joke. I didn't laugh because I was thinking about it, but I liked it.
That's a go homer. That joke you're going to get on your way home.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I hate it here.
Okay.
What do you think that
joke's
Lions...
gone over my head, so I don't know what to do now.
Do you think the Detroit Lions are just eating Detroit style pizza all season?
Ew. They
damn well better be.
Ew.
So cardboard?
Yeah. Whoa!
It's
Detroit
style, like square slice, right? Or like
it's square,
like thicker deep crust.
Yeah.
Okay. Hmm. Gross.
Traditionally, you would then also have like a little bit of cold tomato sauce on top of it. Oh. But I don't eat it that way, and I don't think a lot of. But that is like the traditional Detroit style pizza.
That sounds kind of gross.
Yeah.
Yeah. But go to Little Caesars, get their deep dish. That is Detroit style pizza.
Okay.
I don't like any deep dish.
What else is Detroit like food? Like
before Adam goes on a rant about how deep dish isn't Chicago style pizza. I like
different types of deep dish.
I said before you go on the rant. I like Chicago deep dish pizza. Adam, you may go.
Chicago style stuffed crust, right?
No,
I worked at a pizza place. Jeff?
No, I'm not from here.
I worked at a pizza place, and there was a constant battle of people always asking for the wrong thing of what they want and getting upset. And so there was constantly a learning curve. There's deep dish, and then there's Chicago style deep dish, where deep dish is just the the big crust, the cheese first, then the sauce, and that way that everyone thinks of. Then there's Chicago style deep dish where it's normal, like it's the sauce first and then the cheese, but it's still deep dish. And a lot of people come in, but I want Chicago style, and they want regular deep dish pizza, and so we make Chicago style, and that's not what they want. I hated doing that.
Okay, so Nick, is Chicago style deep dish your favorite type of pizza?
No, my favorite type of pizza is just normal pizza. Just
like more like a New York slice style.
No, because that's too thin. Like okay, I'm at a really weird, like, I like thin.
Dumb.
I don't like thick crust pizza. I like I like deep dish and I like thin crust. I do not like thick crust, which
I'm trying to remember.
Wild, but there is a difference between all of them.
I think I know what you mean. Like where like the actual part that like all the cheese and stuff is on is thinner, but then like you like the puffier end crust.
No, because
you like Rosati's. You like
I like Rosati's. I like Home Run Inn. Home Run Inn is my favorite pizza, without a doubt.
I don't know if you remember. I think
the big thick pizza. Mm-hmm. Like what we had yesterday?
Yeah.
That is too much crust.
Of crust.
There was a pizza place in Macomb, Alex. It was right next to the Ritz in that strip mall.
Oh my God.
Not Giordano's. No, it's
a really
cool G, though.
Yeah, it started with a G. But so, like, their style of pizza is...
Got it.
Yeah, I was like, I'm sure you've had that pizza before, but I was like, I don't know if you know Rosati's or Home Run Inn or anything.
Yeah.
That the, style of
the pizza. Second best pizza in Macomb.
That was my favorite pizza in Macomb.
I think Laurier's was my favorite pizza in Macomb.
I never had Laurier's. My second favorite was Papa John's because you could get 50% off being a Western student. So
using a code of basically any organization. Just type in an organization.
Well, you could just walk on campus and get 7. So
yeah.
Yeah. Literally, if you just typed in WIU, it was 50% off. And then if you did any other organization's thing, you got 40% off and 20% of that goes to that organization. I don't know. I had to do that. I was the president of an organization and we did that and we never saw that fucking money that people were giving us. So I don't know what fucking happened to it.
I often use code UDT to promote the university.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. ISIS?
Yep.
Yeah. Huh? If you abbreviated it, that's basically what it was.
Yeah. They were pretty bad.
Yeah, I was not really impressed.
It was really good if you were super hammered walking back home. Because you're walking down in front of the campus and it's the only thing right there, like on our way to like where our house was on Adams Street. Like you're walking back from a party, it's like, oh hey, look, a sandwich shop. And then you go in and you have the most below mediocre sandwich you've ever had.
They lived like the house that we all partied and hung out in and stuff, and where Jeff lived was across the street from the main building. Like when they take a picture of like, here's Western, and it's like the cover
Sherman Hall.
Yeah. Like, and
I'm just gonna turn
the building the, like, no one goes to.
Yeah, the brick arches and stuff. Yeah,
I had to go to Sherman like 3 times in my 3 years at Western Illinois.
I was always once.
My grad assistantship contract, but so that they would pay me.
That's where your money was going for your organization.
Yeah. Right into Alex's pocket.
Right into my pocket. I had a big kickback scheme with Papa John's and Macomb.
Against your organization.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. So I made all my money. Now I'm rich and
doing this podcast.
Yeah.
Shitting on trying to defend Detroit.
If you could do anything in the world, what would you do? I would go on random podcasts and defend the city of Detroit.
Yeah. So how long were you at Western?
3 years. It was a 3-year program. My graduate degree in directing. How's I was actually only on campus for 2.5 years because I took a semester where I just like, it was like, I don't actually have any classes to take and my thesis is next semester. So bye. And I didn't stay in Macomb. I took an acting contract.
That was your greatest semester of grad school.
Yeah, it was great.
Not being in Macomb.
I read of the Peter and the Starcatcher books because that was my thesis show. So I was getting course credit to read children's books. It was great.
I've only read the first, like the half of the first one. It was I think it was when they came out, I was just too young for them, so I was like confused just right off the bat, and I've never gone back.
I would say 1 through 3 are pretty great. The fourth one is not good.
I also, there was a book I did finish this one. It was Hook. Like, it was coming out around the same time as that. And I, the only thing I remember about that book, though, is that he has yellow blood. And that was it.
Shall we talk about that Gene Wilder book that you didn't read?
Yeah, we could do that
in my class.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Right. So I get, so Jeff, since you don't know, Alex made us do a book report, and he gave us like a list of biographies and autobiographies to read. And I mean, I'm one of those people. I'm lazy, but I get my work done, and I get my work done well. Like, I try and find the easiest way to produce good quality work. And I didn't really want to read the book. I want to at this point because I love Gene Wilder, but it wasn't at the library the one day I wanted to go check it out. And I was like, fuck this.
Nope.
Well,
it's literally the person who hasn't heard the story.
Hey, buddy. You good? Keyboard that will just disconnect you from this call. I don't know which one it was, but one of them.
One of them does it.
Anyway, yeah, so it wasn't there the one day I would
be fucked because I disconnected.
Yeah.
The one day it'll be great.
Yeah. Anyway, so the one day I went to check it out, it wasn't there. And I was like, fuck this. I'm not going to read the book. And I did some research on Gene Wilder, read some synopses of his book, used Wikipedia, which is a great resource. I don't know why people shit on it. And basically pieced together through some research of some other places and wrote my essay, met the bare minimum requirements that I had to meet, and did good enough to pass. I don't know if you even read those essays. Did you?
I did. No, I did read them.
You did?
Mostly because I didn't want to read the books either, but I was curious what they were about. So,
the heads up, it does say it's recording for someone, right? Because my screen no longer anywhere says that the recording is happening.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
It also says that we've been going for a minute 20. So. Mm-hmm. Anyway. As long as we don't have to do it a third time.
Yeah. I don't know what we talk about at that point.
The Super Bowl. I mean, the Tigers.
At that point, we will talk about the Lions having won the Super Bowl.
Okay. Yeah.
The Detroit Tigers are leading the American League Central. And how the Detroit Red Wings still exist, and the Pistons have been disbanded as an organization.
What if we swapped out the Pistons and the Red Wings?
I'm down. Get rid of the Red Wings. Yeah. I'm a Hawks fan, so fuck Detroit.
Red Wings are almost back, baby.
No, they're not.
No. You have Patrick Kane. You have Patrick Kane, and he's not playing right now. So
you guys for almost back.
Yeah, honestly, if I didn't know I could hate the Detroit Red Wings more than I already did, and then Patrick Kane joined your organization, and if I couldn't have, first of all, when Patrick Kane was with the Hawks, I hated Patrick Kane, and I didn't think I could hate Patrick Kane more than I did, and then he went to the Red Wings. It was a huge
thing. As
someone
who doesn't hate Patrick Kane, seeing Patrick Kane in a Red Wings jersey made me want to throw up.
Yeah.
I will admit, I don't particularly follow hockey because I took for granted for so long how good the Red Wings were.
Just that they would always
the Yzerman
make playoffs.
Days. Yeah.
Yeah, just that
they
like
make the playoffs for like 30 years.
For like the first 28 years of my life, the Red Wings were just in the playoffs.
Like, that was just a given.
Yeah.
It's like the Chiefs winning the AFC.
Yep. Patrick Mahomes will be playing for the AFC Championship.
Again, for the fifth year in a row.
Seventh?
Yep. I hate that.
His entire career has not been in an AFC championship game. So let that
However,
sit.
I do.
You guys could have had him.
So if
who did we draft?
Trubisky. You took Trubisky over Mahomes. Mahomes was on the board, and you guys were like, fuck that. Mitchell
There's
Trubisky.
A gun around here somewhere. One second.
Mitch.
I got one somewhere.
We want Mitch. We want a generational quarterback. Someone the city of Chicago will never forget.
So we don't forget him. Don't worry. We haven't forgot him. Man, I wish we could, but he was here.
He was.
Oh, God. Oh. Oh, man, makes me miss Rex Grossman.
Shut the fuck up.
And I feel like we might have talked about this in the deleted show.
legitimately deleted, will not be found anywhere.
I think what happened to the Bears was the absolute worst case scenario this season.
That they existed.
In that they had a good end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was enough to save Eberflus. They're not gonna move on from Justin Fields. And they're just gonna toil.
Sucks because they still have the Panthers first overall pick.
Yep.
And Marvin Harrison Jr. committed to go back to Ohio State for his senior
fuck
year.
Fuck.
So that first pick is most likely just going to be a probably the best D end on the table, or maybe an offensive lineman.
Maybe they won't draft a running back.
No one takes running backs in the first round.
Yeah, I know.
Their lifeline is three seasons possibly. Unless it's Derrick Henry somehow.
I would say, except for Derrick Henry, who's still just having great seasons.
Just the time of his life. Well, I mean, that's what happens when you're a 6'4", 250-pound running back that runs a 4'4".
What about... Nope, he's probably going back to Michigan. Fuck.
No, he's actually...
He's coming out.
No, he's going to the Canadian draft.
Corum?
Yeah. From what I heard,
hold on, is there?
I live in hell.
Is there a professional football thing in Canada?
Yeah, CFL is a thing. Oh. It's been a thing for a while.
It's been a thing.
Gross.
For a while.
Disgusting.
It's weird football too. They play it the field size is different and
there's a 50-yard line on each side, and then there's a center line.
They made football look like hockey. It's odd.
But they're
I don't like it.
Oh no, they did
game speeches.
They
incredible.
Did declare for the draft. I don't think anyone's drafting him first overall.
I don't know. I feel like I'm sad that the running back position is dying unless your name is Christian McCaffrey. It makes me
I don't know. A little guy named David Montgomery had a great season for the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, that's what's doing it for you.
Ever heard of David Montgomery? I don't know if you remember him.
The NFL mock draft, they're still claiming that the Bears are going to draft Caleb Williams with the first pick.
Even though he's redeclared.
He did not redeclare.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of Marvin Harrison.
Yeah, Marvin Harrison is. Apparently, he's going to the Cardinals, but I'm 99% sure he said he's going back for his senior year.
I don't know. I also think that trading away the draft pick isn't a terrible idea and just fucking walking away with six second round picks.
You're not gonna get six or one.
No, but okay. Sorry, three.
If anything, they'll trade the first overall for just a different.
That sounds very stupid.
Yeah, well, I mean,
sounds like what the Bears would do then.
Yeah,
Caleb Williams also has been very adamant about I will not go to the Chicago Bears. So
yeah, I'm excited to see that situation.
Oh, I thought, yeah,
I hope it happens.
It's gonna be such a good time.
I hope when the clock starts for them to be able to make their pick, it's 3 seconds in and they're already yep, Caleb Williams. Instead of taking the full 10 minutes or whatever, it's just an immediate 5 seconds in. Caleb Williams has been drafted by the Bears.
It does drive me nuts, a little bit nuts that they get a full 10 minutes at that point. I'm like, no, the first pick, the draft begins, you have picked. You've had all the time. Everybody knows you're picking first. They can call you to trade. What's happening in these 10 minutes that hasn't happened in the last 9 months?
So if the Bears pick Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I don't want to go to the Bears. What happens?
Well, fun fact, he gets drafted.
He gets drafted? What?
So what would happen is if they don't trade him for someone, he could not sign his rookie contract and hold out for the entire season, and then he re-enters the draft.
That sounds like next a horrible year. Decision.
Which would be really funny, because if they are going to go that route, then they would have probably already traded Justin Fields.
Imagine.
And so then they would not have a quarterback.
Yeah, but if they do that, does that mean they just lose first round pick? Like, is it just gone?
Yeah. Imagine, though, they draft him. He doesn't sign. He waits out a year. And the Bears get the first overall pick again because they're garbage. And he's just like, fuck.
Son of a bitch.
Granted, his draft stock would probably
plummet. I would say he probably would. He probably won't be 1-1 at that point. He'd be
2.
Yeah.
See, in hockey, once you draft someone, you get the rights to that player for 3 seasons. So if you don't sign with the team that drafts you and they choose not to trade you, you sit there for 3 full seasons.
Wow.
Doing nothing. If you're under the age of 20, you can still play juniors. So, like, it's the level that I ended up playing in, but the level under, like, the AHL. You can still play there, but your rights are still held by...
Also, that's just what Google told me. I don't know if that's 100% true, but it's what it said, so...
Huh. When has Google ever lied to you?
That's how I got through a Gene Wilder book.
Worked out.
Yeah,
NFL teams cannot hold on to a player's rights forever, so he'd be eligible to enter the draft again the next season. So yes, that was true.
There we go.
Bears are going to make every single wrong decision.
All their picks.
They
hold
already
out.
Have. They didn't fire Eberflus, so
that's true.
That is a wild one.
That is.
But also that would be like the 4th cycle of them drafting a QB, firing that coach the next season, and then having to hire new coach, and then he drafts a new QB, and then they get rid of him again, and then they're just in this constant cycle of garbage. But I mean, hey, why not keep it going?
Not if my it's team, working for just, you, you know.
Yeah, you're having mediocre season sometimes.
Yeah,
you're still not having a 4,000 yard passer your entire franchise. So
who needs him?
Yeah,
that's so many. It's too many yards. It's just too
especially,
many.
Especially when it's a passing first league now.
That's like what 40 football fields? That's a lot.
Come on. Way too much.
Yeah. Who needs that many?
We just need one.
Gotta score once, man. Yeah, and then the defense holds everyone out forever.
I'll be honest.
Ever heard
with
the
you?
Phrase defense wins championships? Come
on. That's true. That's what the Bears did, and then it turns out if you don't have an offense.
I was like, the best defense is a good offense, though. So.
Yeah.
Yes, the best defense, though, is not the Bears.
No.
Well, your best defense is going to hopefully also maybe score you some points, and that's the only way you win if you're the Bears.
The only thing the Bears are good at is
that is how
the
they
Super
made
Bowl
it to
shuffle.
The Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl shuffle. Great time.
Yep.
Best the Bears. That's literally the peak of Bears.
That's true.
Back in, the 80s, right?
I think 85.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wild.
85 Bears. Chicago.
Parents please. Passed that on to him.
Yeah, I was like, please never speak in a Chicago accent ever again, Nick.
I love me some Chicago, Pat.
Pat? I thought you were going to say Packers. I was so confused.
The goal is to look like Packers.
The Green Bay Packers, founded by Curly Lambeau.
So I'm a Rams fan. So like, luckily, like I've gone through my shit phase of where we were just absolute garbage throughout the 2000s and early 2010s. Indeed. And now watching someone else,
and then they
still
went,
go
and then they went back
theirs.
To Los Angeles.
Yeah, and now we're good again.
And my family is my in-laws are still upset that they went back to Los Angeles. I have to keep them. They're like, they left St. Louis. They came from Los Angeles.
I did not know they came from Los Angeles.
They went home.
Yeah.
They weren't yours to begin with. You stole them.
Some fucking owner was like, yeah, that seems like a good spot. And
what
was
the team that just disappeared in the middle of the night? What was that? Was that?
That would be the Baltimore Colts.
Sorry,
it was the Cleveland Browns who moved to Baltimore. Became the Baltimore Ravens, but then the Ravens aren't allowed to have the history of the Cleveland Browns because they bolted in the middle of the night. But the Baltimore Colts also bolted in the middle of the night to Indianapolis.
Okay. That's fucking wild.
I'm excited to see
the Baltimore Ravens, technically an expansion franchise, but were actually moved from Cleveland to Baltimore. And the NFL owners.
Correctly.
Right, the NFL owners were like, you can't move the team. you can't move the Cleveland Browns. And he was like, the hell I can't. And so he
folded the team and then started an expansion.
Yes. And then so when the Cleveland Browns were reformed, the expansion version of the Cleveland Browns were given the history of the old Cleveland Browns.
We're always taught in Chicago
NFL school.
High school. Yeah, exactly. That George Halas, Saint George Halas, excised the non-believers and bullied the Cardinals into leaving for Arizona in the middle of the night at gunpoint. So that's what we're taught.
That is a way cooler story.
I like it.
Yeah. Nick, make a movie about that.
Yeah, because I just have that talent.
You know how to do that. Yeah. If you write it, I'll proofread it, and then I'll handle it.
I can barely write a D&D campaign.
That's true. That's why we're giving you ideas. That's why Alex and I are here. Yeah. Not you, Alex. Sorry. Our other Alex.
I think I'm doing a fine job of pitching ideas right now.
Okay. What was the stuff about Matt Stafford and then Jared Goff?
I believe one franchise felt like they could not win a Super Bowl with Jared Goff, and another franchise felt like they were overpaying for Matt Stafford. And so they
traded them
to the Los Angeles Rams. They gave
who
Matt
then
Stafford.
Used him to win a Super Bowl.
And then in recent years, they've rediscovered that, probably any quarterback could have won in that system.
Yeah.
When the amount of talent around them, you didn't need Matt Stafford, who couldn't beat the Detroit Lions with Puka Nacua. Come on.
It's true.
Also, everyone's always like, Kelly Stafford's so sweet. And I think she's annoying, but that's a different. It's a different rant about the Stafford family.
I don't know shit about his wife.
We in Chicago, we stopped talking about quarterbacks' wives after Cutler. That went south very badly.
Yeah.
That went very poorly.
Jay Cutler, that guy.
Yeah.
He has a podcast. We should all go join his podcast right now and see what he's doing.
Pop in.
Do you have his IP?
Hey, we're talking about you. We wanted to first say
Jay, we just wanted some thoughts.
How afraid were you when you saw Brian Urlacher with hair? How terrified were you? Because I almost drove into a wall on I-90.
What a question.
I thought we were going to continue on about like maybe asking about his wife, his ex-wife, but Nick doesn't care about that. Nick has hairline.
No. We don't talk about
quarterback's
wives. Nick's
very sensitive about his hairlines, so...
Hey, I've had this my entire life. It's never gone. It's never changed.
Born thinning and die thinning.
When did everybody on this call have their first beard they were proud of?
It should be 2 to 6 months.
Right. I believe in you. I believe in you. You can do it.
Sometime in college.
Yeah, I think at the end of probably right after college was like the first one I was really proud of.
I've
had facial hair since freshman or sophomore year of high school, but I had a goatee because I couldn't grow the sides, so it was not.
Yeah, when I was playing hockey still, like, and we would grow our playoff beards, I was lamb chops and goatee, and that like that was without shaving, like that was just how it happened. I had like the big empty strips here, and so I always kept it cut nice and short, and then in college. I had the worst depression I've ever had in my entire life. And said,
somebody
I'm
trying
not...
to make him read a Gene Wilder book.
Yeah. And I chose not to. I didn't cut my hair or my beard or anything for like almost a year and just let everything grow out. And at that point, my facial hair was able to fill in, and it's been filled in ever since.
There you go. I love it. I've had more or less this beard since my sophomore year of high school.
You've been blessed with those, those good genes. Yeah. Those
good Detroit genes.
That's right. Detroit person over here.
Yeah.
Beards.
I get really upset because I like how like Jeff's
from all the oil from working on the cars. That's how our beards grow.
Jeff's beard like goes up to his lower lip, and mine, I just have like the soul patch and then the full beard, and I want to fill this in. But you know, I'd take this over Nick's, which is he only grows hair from his sideburns under his neck. Side
profile.
His face, literally, we had a guest on one time, and they said, "What did you spray paint that on?"
Yep. Yeah,
Nick, are you are you more of like the really good baked goods Amish or like the table Amish? The table
I'm definitely the baked goods Amish. Definitely.
That's because his fiance bakes goods. Before that, Nick was just a worthless piece of shit. So.
At least you're bringing something to the table now, Nick. That's good.
Yeah.
Hey, I could be rocking a killer mustache, but you know, I
can't. No, you can't.
It doesn't. You say you could be rocking a killer mustache. You're already rocking a mustache because your beard does not connect to it. Like you already have the mustache. And you.
Oh, he's saying like a killer mustache, like a good-looking mustache, not a mustache one would find on a killer. Because I think he is rocking that.
He is rocking a killer mustache.
It kind of gives off French vibes, maybe.
The fact also,
like here's the thing. Well, because Nick's half Mexican, and I think all that half of Mexican is in his mustache. Okay, but all of your Mexican is in your skin tone and your mustache. Like that's it.
I think the mustache is French in the way that I'm like, maybe this guy has syphilis. I don't
and you think the mustache is longer than it is. No, the edges just grow really long. He can lift them up. Like that's like a mustache that you can curl. Like it's
I've done it before.
Yeah. It's awful. The worst part though is that
shave the beard, just go lean in.
Dude, I'll have to run it by my fiance again. She'll say no, but I'll do it.
Yeah, just do it.
Just do it. Okay.
It's better to ask for forgiveness than for permission.
Maybe when it's warmer and the air doesn't hurt my face.
Yeah, it's Chicago. That never goes away.
So much right now.
Yeah, it is. Your face is exposed. So
warm, dude. Like I'm warm. I don't have to wear a scarf.
Okay. I exclusively shave off my beard for acting gigs when I need to for various roles, and I've had to twice in the last 2 years for some History Channel gigs.
Oh, what were you on History Channel?
One episode I was playing a poker dealer, and then different episode on that was on Booze, Bets, and Sex That Built America.
Okay.
And then on season 4 of Food That Built America, I played Oscar Mayer III.
Oh, I recently had to shave my beard off for an acting role as well. Didn't know that theater minor was going to come in handy there, did you? But I literally
I don't want to brag or nothing, but who is your acting teacher?
Even theater 101.
Boom.
Yeah, yeah. Did you get that?
Or? Yeah, literally, I was PAing on this movie, and they needed a firefighter to run into the lead actor. And they were trying to find someone, and it's just a small indie film. And I was like, oh, like I'll do it. They didn't tell me I had to shave my beard at the time. And then it was the day before, and they're like, oh, and by the way, you have to shave your beard for this because firefighters don't have beards. So you can go clean shaven or a mustache. And I don't have a strong enough mustache to let it stand on its own. So
having the confidence in your own mustache. No mustache stands alone unless you're confident enough to let it.
I'll buy that. Ted Lasso. Okay. I was going to say Ted Lasso's mustache. Jason Sudeikis' mustache. That is, but he's confident in it.
No. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So I had to go clean shaven, and I spent an entire day running into the lead actor, and yeah, it was great. I had one line, and that was my line.
Nice, very Midwestern.
Yeah, yeah, it was
very solid Midwestern.
Literally, we had it timed out, and I was rounding around the fire truck as he was coming back, and I would run into him. He'd drop his keys. He'd yell at me, and I'd go, oh, and then I'd like wave oh, I'm sorry, like whatever that is, like, but not more natural, not like this.
I was going to say, I believe we spent a week and a half in that class talking about how to flail your arms after being yelled at by a lead actor. So
intentional bumping.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. How to properly ope.
Yeah, so I'm excited for my first acting role to come out.
Can't wait to watch that too.
Yo, my first movie is good though.
Yeah.
Look it up, Alex. Echo Boomers. It's actually a very good movie.
Look it up right now, and we're gonna spend the rest of this time watching me watch this movie.
Okay.
Like Shia LaBeouf. I'm gonna go make dinner finally and stuff, and like you sit there and watch it. Don't say anything. Just
I'll watch the movie, but off of your facial reactions.
You've seen the movie, Nick.
I have not seen this movie.
You were. I'm pretty sure you were there when you watched it with us.
You were there when
I was probably at work. I'm at work a lot.
Echo Boomers from 2020.
Patrick Schwarzenegger. Yeah.
Rated R, directed by Seth Savoy.
Michael Shannon and Patrick Schwarzenegger.
Michael Shannon, who I know who Michael Shannon is, but is one of those actors that like I see his face and then I hear the name and I go, that's not the same person. We're talking about two different people here.
I don't know if I know who the hell you're talking about.
General Zod.
Yeah. No, Alex, same thing happened in real time.
Love it. Oh, Haley Law. Who was a jerk on this set?
I don't think anyone was, like, the people I worked with were all great on Echo Boomers. I didn't have an issue. Like, literally, I would ask everyone what they needed, and even the director, if he was going to go, he didn't want me to go get him a coffee or anything. He would go get his own, but then would come to me like, hey, you're working with, do you want me to get you something from Crafty or something? Like, he was like, oh, just a genuinely nice person. Patrick Schwarzenegger was also very nice, very friendly. He was an oddball, but you know, it was very clear that he grew up around acting and being rich and the ultimate my dad can beat up your dad card. And like most of my job was to follow Patrick Schwarzenegger around though, because he'd wander. Like he would, like we were in the Union Station and he would just go like the little shops in there and stuff. He would just walk over there because it's a lot of hurry up and wait. Mm-hmm. So we'd hurry up, get there, and then we're waiting. So he'd just go. And my job was to follow behind him and go, Patrick, they're ready for you. Yeah, I've told him three times now. He's looking at sandwiches. And they'll be like, okay, well, let us know when he's on his way. And
flying Patrick to set.
Yep. Yep. It was.
I will say that, like, that is the thing that I absolutely love about acting in film and television is I don't got to think about nothing. They're like, sit here. Do you want a sandwich? Great. I'm going to take you over to where the sandwiches are. You got your sandwich? Let's go sit back over here where you can eat. Great. Awesome. Hey, I need to go to the bathroom. Okay, let me walk you over there. I don't have to think about nothing.
That it's even as a PA, you don't really have to think about anything. I just have to know where things are at.
You just got
to
know the map.
Yeah. As soon as that happens, then it's just responding. And that's all it is.
Yeah.
It's so easy. I can be sitting there on my phone and know, like, it doesn't matter because all I have to do is be able to listen. Like, it's great. I was almost Patrick Schwarzenegger's stunt double. I don't know if we talked about it in the deleted episode, but I was almost Patrick.
Because I've never heard of that.
Go on.
Patrick Schwarzenegger. So on Echo Boomers, I was there for the reshoots. I wasn't there for principal, but I was there for all the reshoots. And 2 weeks before the reshoots, Patrick plays beach volleyball, like in some like competitive capacity, and landed on his arm and shoulder and broke his clavicle in his left shoulder and had it all slinged up and stuff. But then, you know, in 2 weeks you have to be on set in a movie where you did not have a broken clavicle, so they had to take everything off of him. And then they go back and are looking at all of the footage that they'd previously recorded. And they're like, oh, so it's really unfortunate, Patrick, because you swung your backpack onto your left shoulder.
No.
And also were dragging your suitcase with your left arm. And he's like, that fucking sucks. So they went and they had like just a light like a thicker textbook, but it was still light to add weight to the backpack, and then plastic bags to puff it up. And they had like three textbooks, like science textbooks, in the suitcase, so it didn't like bounce around while you're rolling it. And like just to make it as light as possible while still functioning.
Yeah, while still having enough weight to look like it has weight.
And I am 2 inches taller than Patrick. And at the time, our hair was similar color. They had the ability to dye my hair. This was like in February, so it was starting to warm up. And it's like the moment it gets warm, my hair starts to turn blonde. So he has like the dark brown. So they had the capabilities that they were going to dye, like temporarily dye my hair brown. And we have similar builds. My feet are 2 sizes bigger than his, but we figured out I could still fit in his shoes, and I would just have to like wear my pants lower on my bot. Like my ass would basically be showing, but like I could fit into his pants. And they were prepping me to be his stunt double. And they did all of the shots that you saw his face. And then I was going to get into costume, and I was going to be Patrick Schwarzenegger for all of the like back shots and the shots of like his feet walking with the suitcase and stuff.
Shoes 2 sizes too small.
Yeah. Well, like I was just going to be there for all of the stuff that you didn't have to see his face in. And so we shot everything that you'd see his face in. And we finally got to the point, and they were prepping, like getting me ready to quickly switch over. And they went and they're like, "Hey, Patrick, like, are you able to push through or no?" And he's like, "How much more do we have?" And they were like, "An hour of this B-roll stuff that we don't see your face." And he's like, "I'll just fucking do it, man." Like, and he popped some Tylenol and did it. And I was like, you know, good for him, but I'm kind of upset because it was really cool to be. Yeah.
Tylenol,
Advil, one of the two.
Oxy.
Oxy, yeah. But yeah, I was
8-ball.
He did a Heroes Forge of 8-ball, whatever the fuck you're saying.
Heroes Dose. Heroes Forge is where you make miniatures for D&D.
The Heroes Forge of an 8-ball.
But yeah, I really wanted to be a stunt double, but
the one 8-ball that can control them all.
It's just whoever can do the most cocaine and still live.
I feel good about hobbits in that scenario. I think the hobbits are going to win.
So Alex, because we've not talked about your work at all in this
episode. I mentioned my Tigers podcast.
Yeah, so when this episode releases in April, do you have like your upcoming prospects of what you'll be working on at that point, or what you hope to be working on?
Yeah. So in April, I will be getting ready to direct a musical called Amity at the New York Theater Festival in Manhattan that shall go up in June 13th through the 16th, a little 3-show run there at the New York Theater Festival. It's a world premiere new musical with a guy. His name's Tony Tedeschi. He's 82 years old. This is the first thing he's written for the stage, not the first thing he's ever written. I actually met Tony, and this is great. I'm going to connect this all back to all of my work. Met Tony because I was narrating the audiobook of his novel, Unfinished Business, of the one of the hundreds of audiobooks I've narrated at this point in my audiobook narration career. He saw my website, which hasn't been updated since 2020. And he was like, "Oh, you're a theater director. I've also written some stuff for the stage. Can we work together on that?" And I said, "Yes." And so we started working on a different show called Leaving Pleasantville. And then he also wrote Amity, and we've gotten Amity into this festival. So we're going to be gearing up to do that at the time. And then after that, in August, I'll be doing a show called Million Dollar Quartet in Michigan. If anybody's in or around Turkeyville, Michigan, you can come. It's an all turkey restaurant. You can come have an all turkey meal and then see a great show about the music of Johnny Cash, Elvis Presley, Carl Perkins. Ooh. And
guys, road trip.
Yeah, I was like, I mean, now granted, I'm you granted say you Johnny Cash and Elvis wives, Presley,
but
I'll have a child at that point. But yeah,
bring him.
Oh, we'll see.
It's a great show for kids.
Is it?
Boys and your kid.
It's about Johnny Cash and Elvis Presley. Is it a great
show? I am interested.
Great show.
For kids.
Great show.
For a couple month old.
Got to start raising them right.
Oh, okay.
In Marshall, Michigan.
Marshall, Michigan. That's right.
Let's see.
Yeah, how far away is that now?
I'm working from any of the areas we go to. Let's see. Okay, there we go. Now we're up and cooking.
It's 12 minutes from Firekeeper's Casino.
Turkey, you don't know.
How far away is it from the Church Brewery?
Oh, it is east of Kalamazoo.
That's true.
Oof. So, yep.
Too far. Bring it closer.
Yeah, it's probably. Or
how would you like to perform this in Nick's living room?
Yeah.
Great. I'll bring the cast. I'll bring them.
How many cast members?
Six?
I'd say this is probably another 2 hours from South Haven. Okay. Maybe an hour and a half.
What's your favorite type of theater in terms of performance? Like from minimalist to like the improv style where there's literally nothing there, mm-hmm. to all the way to full production Hamilton level. Like, what's your favorite to watch, act in, and direct?
That's such an interesting way to phrase that, because I think that Hamilton is staged really minimalistically.
Oh, it's to Western Illinois. Get so fucked. Hamilton is fucking huge.
I like my favorite style. My, like, given no other constraints, my default style as a director is to veer towards what I would call magical realism. So where it appears sort of realistic on stage, but then we're going to transform a bunch of stuff and use it in weird ways that is not how it is normally used, where we've got two tables and various chairs and things, and away we go. That's probably my default. I love seeing high, very expensive, high production value shows. The couple of times that I've gotten to kind of start to play in that atmosphere as a director, that's also a fun time where someone's not saying like, no, money is an object here. You're like, no, let's do this. What if we did this? That's a fun time. I worked in an outdoor drama one time where I worked there for 9 years. We had over 5 minutes of battle sequences in the show, very realistic battle sequences. Used 5 pounds of black powder a night, which is a lot of black powder. For those that don't know, black powder itself is not very heavy, so to use 5 pounds of it in a night is quite a lot of black powder.
Interesting.
And there were 9 horses in that show. That was a good time. So epic. I like epic, but I usually default to something that's, you know, much more magically realistic.
I do recall in Peter and the Starcatcher at Western using boxes as ships. Really, the standout is watching the one guy dressed as a woman having sex with Logan on a box as it's being pushed around. That really ingrained in my mind forever.
That's a great image.
It was a guy really with a
set
full
the scene.
It was a guy with a big beard, and he had like the old lady, like curly hair, like wig, and then like a pink and white polka dot dress. Oh, it was something to see.
Fun fact, I actually saw that at Western. Justin dragged me there for his, I think he had like a theater class at one point.
Yeah, he was English.
Yeah.
Also an English major. Our friend Justin had like 3 majors in college, and it's wild.
None of them linked together in any way.
Yeah, he had like an English major and then was in law enforcement, mm-hmm. and his mm-hmm. goal was to be a cop until he could retire and then be an English teacher.
Interesting.
Like, yeah, like what a weird thing that you like.
So he just wanted a career where everybody hated him, and then he was gonna retire to a career. Everybody hated him.
Yeah.
That's a bold move.
That wasn't really a problem for him.
Yeah, he is used to it. It was his preference. It was him anyway.
It's where he's comfortable.
Yeah. What's easier to write for, a show that is in one room or a show that you have to change set pieces around?
Like to actually write the script for?
Yeah.
I would say probably something where you can move around, just because then you don't have to create reasons why certain things are happening in whatever room you're trying to stick to. Yeah, that's actually a funny. I'm working on a play right now where I have decided it's a unit set in a suburban kitchen, and there's a lot of stuff that I'd like to not happen in the kitchen of a suburban house, but there we are.
Is it like creatively challenging to figure out how to do that, or is it just annoying?
Yes, yeah, both. Okay. It is annoying because it's creatively challenging, and you're like, oh, this is stretching me and this is making this better, but I would rather just magically we're at a bonfire now. Good luck putting a bonfire on stage.
Thinking enough. This was pretty easy.
Why do you think Cats works as a stage play but not as a movie? As someone who's watched the movie, I think it's fairly accurate to the stage play.
I think that you would have to get me to agree that Cats works as a stage play.
I do love Cats though. Like, I love that play.
I think the reason it works on stage and doesn't really translate to film is that because on stage it is wildly impressive to watch people do incredible dancing, and it loses something on film because we know that you can do a lot of tricks mm-hmm. on film to make things look impressive. But if I see somebody do a very impressive dance in front of me in the room, that takes it to an entirely new level. Like, we've been watching people manipulate dance on film for decades at this point, and so like it doesn't feel as impressive or as exciting. And beyond the dance, Cats is not a good show. I really hate Andrew Lloyd Webber, so that's
oh, so you don't even like Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat?
No. Oof. Go Joseph.
Besides those two projects, then best film adaption and worst film adaption of stage things, musicals, plays, anything.
I think that Chicago is a near is the perfect version of the musical Chicago, the film, to the point that I like have almost no interest in seeing it on stage, because I'm like, the film just did it much better than any stage production really could. Fences is also great. So good. Worst? Oh boy.
Come on, say Cats.
I said besides those two.
Say Cats too.
I might say Phantom of the Opera. Like, the movie's fine, but it's the state show is just so freaking cool.
I saw Phantom of the Opera, the movie, once,
I say that as somebody who hates Andrew Lloyd Webber. I want to be clear.
The seeing Fiona from Shameless sing opera is really off-putting to me, because I saw Shameless first and then Phantom of the Opera, and I didn't know that she was an opera singer.
You ever listened to her Christmas album?
No, I don't think I ever. I don't think I don't like seeing, like, hearing her without the Chicago accent. Like, her regular accent freaks me out, so I don't want to.
Oh, but when I do it, it's a problem.
Yeah, because somehow the way that you do a Chicago accent makes it feel kind of racist in some weird way.
Also, if you looked like Emmy Rossum, you could do whatever accent you wanted.
That's true.
That's no. Fair.
Okay. That's, I heard the room clear, and I really thought something was about to happen.
Look,
and I was so ready to shut it down.
Look, I liked her in The Day After Tomorrow.
Oh, she's so good in that movie. That movie's great.
That movie's really awesome. Movie. That movie, way better than it should be.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a lot about that movie that should be good, but it all comes together very well.
Especially
from Dennis Quaid to Jake Gyllenhaal to isn't John Voight in there?
I think he is.
I think John Voight's
not
like the vice president or
be.
Something. Damn, tomorrow.
I'm looking. I don't see him.
He should have been. Would have been a better movie.
Yeah. Outside of the now the list of projects that we've already named, if someone wanted to watch both the film adaption and the theater performance of something, what project would you say you should see the movie first, and what project should you see the theater first?
12 Angry Men, both of them. Watch them at the same time.
Now,
that is a great movie.
I do. I like that movie.
Yeah.
The original, the 1990s version, awful, but.
Yeah. Original 12 Angry Men is incredible. I would say you should occasionally, this play gets trotted out, a play called The Front Page. Great play. But the film adaptation, His Girl Friday, is so much better than the play. The play's great, but you should watch. You should probably watch the play and then see the movie, because if you see the movie and then see the play, you're just going to be disappointed in the play. I think you should see Into the Woods on stage before you watch the movie.
That makes sense.
The movie's fine.
I've never seen the stage version of it, but yeah, the movie's fine. Meryl Streep's in there for no reason. I'm not a big fan of Anna Kendrick as Cinderella, nor am
I really thought you were about to say you were not a big fan of Meryl Streep, and I was about to.
She's fine. She's great in Mamma Mia. But I could literally watch Mamma Mia all day, every day, both of them back to back.
You want to see Meryl Streep in a weird role? Watch the HBO adaptation of Angels in America.
No.
Okay. That's fine, but you're missing Meryl Streep in a weird role.
Do you guys have any questions?
Nope, I just got a pee for the last half hour.
Jeff, based on everything that you learned about me in this hour and 19 minutes, what do you think I do?
like your everyday job?
Yeah, like how do I make money in this world?
It sounds like, I mean, probably audiobooks probably pays decent, depending on how many you do and pump out. Directing probably fills the void of the rest, or script writing. I don't know which one of those you do, probably both. And then I think being a Detroit Lions fan in this exact moment is probably what's really getting you through every day, even if it's monetary.
What's getting me up in the morning? Yeah, it's pretty good. Okay, we did a good job, guys. We did a good job.
Yeah, because we didn't intro very well this episode.
We did that first episode
that we don't have.
You have the first 15 problem. Minutes. Pull the 15 minutes of the intro.
It's too late. It's gone.
Oh, you are an idiot.
He burned his computer.
Yeah,
probably should at this point.
Anyway. Well, thanks so much for coming on again. Second time in 2 weeks, Alex. We'll do it again at the end of the year.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you will now just be our... We didn't get rid of Nick, we just added a fourth host. Yeah. But we will continuously talk to you about the same exact things every time.
Yeah, that makes
sense. You're now our group therapist. Congratulations.
When you actually start up doing... Well, when you start your football podcast that you haven't started yet, but we'll probably do and then end very quickly soon thereafter. Jeff, you don't know this. I like was pulling up stuff. And I'm like, oh, there's like 3 podcasts he started, and it's been a year since he's last posted an episode. His TikTok, he tried being a Disney TikToker for 3 months, and then it was over.
And being an adult Disney person.
Yeah, man. I'm a Disney adult. We can talk about Disney for another hour and a half if we want to keep Jeff from going to the bathroom.
Next episode.
I just booked Disneyland Paris this morning. So let's go.
All right. Well, do you have anything to plug? Where can people find
you? Yeah, those podcasts seem important. You should probably
head over to the updated and not quite up to date asfreeman.net. You can check that out. But you can truly, one of the things that I do that
what a way to
is still on the regular, is releasing weekly, is the Upflip podcast, where I interview entrepreneurs across all different industries about how they built their business. That's a great show to check out. And also the Michigan and Trumbull podcast, my Detroit Tigers podcast, will be back from hiatus when I'm not distracted by football.
Like, so when I'm ready,
probably about the time pitchers and catchers report. So if you're listening to this as it drops in April, we should have a couple new episodes out.
All right.
No promises.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, thank you for coming on. And
yeah, it was nice meeting you for the first time. Yeah, I don't know about those two.
Yeah, nice to meet you, Jeff.
I enjoyed it as much as I did the first time.
Nick, great to see you again.
Yeah.
Adam, read the book, please.
We'll see.
Do your homework.
I need a legitimate report.